Hello and welcome to Be the Change, the latest podcast from the Climate Clinic, a brand new series brought to you by the Global Consortium on Climate and Health Education. We now know that healthcare contributes to the climate crisis and makes up more than 4.4% of net global climate emissions. The health sector must be a societal leader in protecting public and planetary health from climate change. In order to do this, it needs to decarbonize rapidly, build resilience and adaptive capacity, as well as fostering health equity and meeting global goals, including universal health coverage. In this series, we'll be talking with experts from around the world in order to shine light on exactly what you can do in your communities today. Welcome back to another episode of Be the Change. Today, we'll be speaking to the co-founder and inaugural chair of Climate Action Nurses from Australia. It's my absolute pleasure to introduce Dr. Aletha Ward. Aletha is a registered nurse, author and speaker, and public health professional with a PhD in social health policy. She's a researcher and lecturer within the university sector and is passionate about advocating for health equity through policy shifts that influence our social, cultural, environmental and commercial determinants of health. Aletha is driven to work with communities to empower, educate and support them to build their capacity and resilience. As well as serving as the co-founder and inaugural chair of Climate Action Nurses, she's been the chair of the Australian College of Nursing Emissions Reduction Policy Chapter. Aletha, thank you so much for joining us for the podcast today. We're extremely excited to be talking about Climate Action Nurses and your initiatives that you've been undertaking in Australia. But first, let's give our listeners a little bit of an introductory background to your work and who you are. So tell us about your career, your background, and how you got involved in healthcare sustainability.
It's my absolute pleasure to be here and speak with you and your listeners. So thank you very much for that opportunity. I'm really a grassroots passionate person around this topic, and I do have a practice and academic background in determinants of health and health disparities around disadvantaged communities. So I'm really driven by, you know, health disparities of the most vulnerable people in our society, which has driven a very strong, you know, social justice foundation and narrative around my work. So, you know, when we look at climate change, for example, in that light and the paradox in the healthcare sector that not only do we care for the most vulnerable in the community to climate change, but we're actually causing some of it being such a large emitter, that has, you know, concerned me personally a great deal. And so due to that, I have been working with the Australian College of Nursing over the past couple of years, both as deputy chair and chair of the Emissions Reduction Policy Chapter, where we've released Australian first, nursing position statements and guiding principles, things like that, and a white paper on how nurses can lead that response in Australia to both our preparedness for climate change and emissions reduction in healthcare. And I've now been so very fortunate to work with a very passionate group of Australian nurses to co-found Climate Action Nurses. And that really is to empower our nursing workforce to step up and take that urgent and significant action that we need around climate change and emissions reduction.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to get into some of the nuts and bolts of Climate Action Nurses and the initiatives which you've been undertaking. Before we dive into that, let's contextualize this first a little bit. You know, nursing has been touted as, nurses are probably the most trusted across the polls in the world, the most trusted of all healthcare professionals. But aside from this, why is the nursing community going to be so important when it comes to tackling climate change and ensuring urgent mitigative action over the next few years before we have to hit those crucial net zero targets over the next 6 or 7 years?
Absolutely. And Adesh, you know, we can't do this alone. I'm not saying, you know, nurses are the only one to do this. Obviously, you know, we are, however, that largest healthcare workforce, both in Australia and globally. So, you know, if not us, who we need to step up and really lead the way. And as you've pointed out, we're a very trusted profession, both within healthcare, but also our community. I feel like when we speak, our community will often listen. And therefore, you know, Climate Action Nurses, we believe that nurses need to agitate for and lead change within the healthcare sector to ensure that our healthcare organisations embrace, you know, emission reduction technologies and strategies, but also to prepare our healthcare services to deliver healthcare in climate emergencies, and also prepare our, you know, community members to make sure that they are resilient to, you know, our climate emergency. Well, not even resilient, but prepared for as well. You know, living with, often with chronic diseases in extreme weather events.
You've talked about a significant body of work that the nursing community and the wider healthcare fraternity are, you know, have to undertake urgently. In your opinion, from both an Australia-centric position, but also perhaps with the global hat on as well, is nursing as a profession moving fast enough in the race to tackle climate change and decarbonize? Or is there significantly more that needs to happen on that front?
Look, you know, and the ICC has come out very recently saying that we need, you know, it's very strong language they've used, the urgent and drastic action. So whilst we have pockets, and certainly internationally, there's some extremely good examples of nurse leadership in this area, particularly across Northern America and Europe, I think we're left wanting in Australia. So I'm going to say no, we as a profession are not moving fast enough, in my opinion. And certainly, you know, that is one of the reasons why we founded Climate Action Nurses. And whilst we have pockets of action in Australia, where nurses are absolutely leading the way in healthcare services and doing some incredible work, we also know that there are a number of nurses in Australia who lack the knowledge around the extent of the crisis that we're grappling with, and additionally how they can address that. And that's why we have formed Climate Action Nurses, to educate and empower our workforce.
So, talk to me a little bit about Climate Action Nurses. You've talked about the goals as well, and the principles underpinning the organisation. You've mentioned that there's an awareness component in terms of raising awareness in the nurse community, but also an empowerment, you know, component, which is equally crucial in terms of empowering your nursing community in Australia of what they need to be doing, you know, and as you said, urgent and drastic action, both of those. So, who makes up Climate Action Nurses? What are your reminders of your goals? And talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that you've been undertaking.
Yeah, sure. So we've got an incredible founding committee that stretches across Australia. And we're really passionate about, you know, empowering both the Australian and Pacific region, the nurses within that region, to be armed with, you know, information and toolkits to deliver care in climate emergencies, but also to reduce emissions within our sector. So we work across four pillars: advocacy, policy, research and education. And that's really to equip nurses with the tools required to shift the healthcare sector's response to climate change. So, you know, over the next 12 months, we're busy working with key stakeholders to develop and implement a really clear planetary health and sustainability position for nurses in this region. We also want to challenge nurses to educate not only other nurses, but other healthcare professionals and their community and their patients in climate preparedness and also sustainability. We're also working to embed climate and planetary health in undergraduate nursing curriculum in Australia. We've, you know, started an audit of the national curriculum, and it hasn't been great. We've found that our profession is really wanting in educating our future workforce in climate health, so we need to step up there. And we also publish resources such as our quarterly zine, which is an interactive online magazine aimed at, you know, equipping our nurses with the tools they require.
In terms of policy and regulatory changes, how do you plan to go about encouraging change in that sector as well? Because it's traditionally one of the harder sectors, isn't it, to push for change when it comes to regulatory bodies and our professional organisations as well. How does CAN perhaps, with the policy hat on, go about enforcing some of those changes?
Absolutely. We've been working hard, not just within CAN, but our other partners such as the Australian College of Nursing and Australian Primary Healthcare Nurses Association, to agitate at that political level. Because, and in Australia, it's been an interesting environment to be working in this last 12 months. We've had a change of federal government, And that change actually has been led by a social drive around the fact that Australians want our politicians to take climate change seriously. And unfortunately, prior to that 12 months, the government that was in power felt like they did not have the mandate to do that and were very inactive in that. So I feel like, you know, Australians have spoken, and they've spoken quite significantly and loudly about, come on, we actually need to step up. This is a crisis. So we're sitting on that foundation now, which is a very powerful foundation to be sitting on. And we're lobbying both our federal, our state, and our local politicians to say we need action now. And as part of our lobbying work, you know, we've seen things like the healthcare sector now has a sustainability group put together to look at sustainability in healthcare. But we also urge nurses, you know, let's vote for the environment. And let's have those conversations with our peers and our community, because we need to, you know, we need to speak with our votes as well.
It's a conversation that I'm hearing sort of echoed in various corners of the world, in that climate and health is a political issue, and it's a voting issue as well when it comes down to it. And ultimately, as you've said, grassroots organisations work from bottom up, as can have been, but it takes a federal government and a central government also to free up funding, free up an agenda, put, you know, parts of an agenda for that, and put time and effort into working top down from those changes. And so you sort of work from either side in order to ensure that from an organizational level, things move quickly and effectively.
Absolutely. And, you know, votes really count. And we've seen that happen in Australia, where there's been a strong narrative in the last federal election about people voting for climate change. Then the government step up and go, okay, this actually is a serious issue and we need to be seen to be taking action there. And we need to continue to hold the government to account, whatever government that is, to say this is a serious issue for our community and we do expect action.
I've got an interesting question for you next, actually, because we're in an era, a very unique era, where, as we know, we've got a very short window, but we're also going to be working heavily to adapt our environments to climate change, healthcare and living environments to climate change, which is inevitable at this point to a certain degree, but also decarbonize, and that's going to be the focus over the next few decades now of transitioning to a completely different way of operating within our healthcare systems. That is traditionally, or up to now, has involved sustainability teams or greener sort of organizer components of the government working cohesively to decarbonize, with perhaps input from part-time clinicians or professionals. But of course, there are then professionals like yourself who have pivoted to making this a main part, or the main part and component of their career. Do we need more vacancies and roles being made available for clinicians to pivot perhaps and take a role in sustainability and climate change full time? Is that the need of the hour for more clinicians who are patient facing traditionally, like you might have been, to now have a public health and a climate change lens for the rest of their careers, perhaps for the next few decades? Is that what we need?
Absolutely. I do agree that that's what we need, because clinicians are a very, you know, knowledgeable workforce and profession in terms of what we can actually do to shift this. And I'll give you an example. At Fiona Stanley Hospital, one of our hospitals in Western Australia, we have seen a nurse-led program where they have actually done a campaign around the reduction of blueies. Do you know what a bluey is, Adesh? You know, they've got plastic on the bottom and a little bit of absorbent material on top. We use them for everything. I don't know whether that's a worldwide thing or an Australian thing.
I think it might be a worldwide thing, but the term might be an Australian term.
Yeah, yes. So, and you know, we always have special terms for things in Australia. But, you know, in a 6-month campaign, one hospital saved 60,000 blueies. And, you know, that's a win for everyone. That's a win for hospital administrators because we're talking about a cost reduction. But that's also a win for our waste management and reduction and the footprint of healthcare on sustainability. And that was led by clinicians who, you know that, gee, that is an opportunity. So I think unless, you know, the government and organisations engage clinicians, you know, clinicians are the experts in their context of practice. And I'm also very mindful, even in the space that I, you know, I'm in, both in climate action nurses and outside of that, we can't go into workplaces and say, this is what you need to do. We don't know that workplace, but who does? Is actually the clinicians in nurses and nurses in that workplace. So we need, you know, healthcare professionals to be stepping up and leading the way in positions, in organisations, because they know the organisations best.
Yeah, it boils down to, you know, the factor which I tell my medical students at University College London, that it needs to be climate change and healthcare needs to be how we viewed perhaps patient-centered care, you know, 20 years ago, when it was, you know, maybe 2-3 decades ago, it was a novelty, wasn't it, to have that complete lens on patient-centered care and patient-driven care and empowering the patient to make their own decisions. And, you know, when did I start medical school? About 10, 11 years ago now. And I remember everyone saying, it's been around for a good decade. It's the center of your clinical work. You know, it's all about this and this is how the consultations run. Was probably how we have to view climate change now in based on what you're saying as well. Every single clinician or patient-centered healthcare professional, whether that's a nurse or a radiologist or a technician administrator, has to have this lens on in order to be effective within their own work environment, as you've said.
And I'm really passionate about the fact that this should form basic education for our, you know, new healthcare professionals coming through, because without that, we're going to struggle to do that. And Adesh, you and I have been in this space for a while now, and no doubt, like myself, you have seen, you know, a rapid escalation in this area of, you know, we now really are very clear on what we need to do. But we need to also equip our current and future workforce with that knowledge so that they can have that lens in every interaction.
So speaking of the education piece as well, you have launched a fantastic new online interactive journal or newsletter, which comes out probably quarterly, if I'm not mistaken. Tell our listeners a little bit about that, where we can find it and who this is targeted at.
Absolutely. We've got an amazing co-founder at Climate Action Nurses who introduced me to the concept of a zine, and she brings a wonderful job bringing all of that together every quarter. So the first zine was introduced to really introduce climate action nurses, but also starting that dialogue and collating those key resources for nurses. The second zine is about to be released in late April, as you said, quarterly, and we're looking specifically at the effects of climate change on mental health. And, you know, there's a number of considerations in that regard that we're exploring in this scene. For example, we know that in Australia, in the last 2 years, about 70% of Australians have been exposed to an extreme weather event. And, you know, with that comes not only the initial trauma and displacement, but also long-term effects. So, you know, for example, many people on the eastern seaboard are still housing insecure from a very large flood that occurred over 12 months ago. So we've got that consideration. But we also need to look at the impact of climate change on nurses and healthcare professionals. You know, one of the co-founders of Climate Action Nurses has just published a paper on the role of a nurse in extreme weather events. And we know that nurses and healthcare professionals, you know, not only care for those impacted by extreme weather events, but they're often personally impacted by those extreme weather events as well. And then we look at things like vicarious trauma, where, you know, nurses and healthcare professionals who work day in and day out in an environment where they're subjected to the trauma of those they care for, you know, this takes a massive toll on us as a workforce, you know, not just on nurses, but healthcare professionals. So we're exploring that in the zine, and each zine will have a, you know, key theme where we look around, you know, sustainability, but also delivering healthcare within, you know, a climate emergency.
We're going to include the links to Zine in our podcast description as well, so you can check it out. And we're also going to have a list of a couple of journal articles that we've referred to as well in this podcast too. How can all nursing professionals who are tuning in now get involved with the bigger picture here? Where are the resources to help and upskill them? And what's your advice to where they can make a start?
Well, firstly, well done for tuning in and, you know, trying to find information to arm yourself. Like, that's a sincere, you know, good on you for doing that. There's lots of national and international resources. And, you know, if they're listening to this podcast, no doubt they're aware of the wonderful resources you provide. We've got a Climate Action Nurses website and zine, as we've discussed, and watch this space. We're bringing an action toolkit for nurses to be educating not only our profession, but healthcare professionals and the community. And there's also other organisations in the Australian context, such as the Australian College of Nursing, that has those guiding principles and even statements on ethical leadership in emissions reduction for nurses, and also CAHA, our Climate and Health Alliance. So lots of resources. Start arming yourself, start getting educated, and can I say, start small. Even if it's one less Bluey that you use on your shift, or, you know, make sure that you're only opening what you need. And I know that I've been guilty of this in my workplace. You know, at home, often we're quite mindful of sustainability and waste and even electricity usage, because we're paying the electricity bill. But often in our workplace, we're a little bit mindless around that. So we need to take those sustainability principles, which we often do quite well in our homes, into our workplaces.
Great messages there, Aletha, to all of our nurses who are tuned into today's show. If I could ask you to hone in perhaps three key take-home messages for nurses from Australia and around the world, maybe, that are tuned in and listening, what might they be?
Yeah, I think firstly, be armed with knowledge, and then with that knowledge, get involved in your workplace, in your community, and in your homes. Secondly, I'd say we need healthcare services that are resilient to climate change. And again, we can't sit here and tell you you know, how best to do that within your practice area. You are the expert. So develop plans and strategies and speak to your leadership team around making your services more resilient to climate change. And lastly, you know, we need those healthcare services that are sustainable as well. So you are the experts in your context of practice. Be empowered. You are leading the way, and you're best placed to come up with the solutions that we need. So yeah, that would be my three take-home messages.
Wonderful take-home messages for all of our listeners. Aletha, thank you so much for joining us today for the show. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, hearing about CAN, about the new magazine as well, and hopefully engaging a much wider nursing audience within Australia and from the global diaspora as well. So really appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you for the opportunity to discuss, you know, just such important principles here.
We look forward to having you back when the next edition of the magazine goes out, and we can talk a little bit about the material in there. Thanks a lot, Aletha.